Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord. This is Thanksgiving Day. I thank the Lord for all the wonderful blessings that He's given us. And He has many more to come. You know, as we draw closer to Christ's return at the rapture, see, at the rapture, He stops in midair. The closer we get to that day, we're going to see the Lord move mightily by His Spirit. So, I don't know what to tell you to expect, but I know this, that when the Lord is after souls, He does great miracles. If you're ever in doubt about how God can move, read the book of Jonah. God knew that Nineveh would repent if Jonah preached. And that miracle after miracle happened to get Jonah to go to Nineveh. Jonah was not completely willing, but he had the anointing to minister a word to warn them so that they could repent and not get burned up like Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, the Lord loves people. This story proves that God loves people that are not His friends. You don't have to be God's friend for Him to love you. If He know that He can help you, if He can see that you, when He see people out there that wants, that can be saved if somebody told them, and they'll walk out of darkness, he'll move heaven and hell to get them into the kingdom of God. The only people God can't help are people who are stiff-necked and they won't repent. They love their will and they won't budge. God can't help them. He'll send minister after minister to warn them, to try to get them to repent. But they won't repent. The Ninevites, they went on a net. That was the first Gentile nationwide fast I ever heard of. The king demanded that nobody eat. He didn't even let the animals eat or drink. They went on a fast and they changed their mind. They repented. And the destruction that was about to come never happened. And Jesus talked about it in Luke chapter 10. See, they repented. God didn't have to destroy that nation. But how many times, you know, the Lord wants to do things for us. We have to listen to Him. He's not going to guide us wrong. And in order to get the people saved that He's after, that live in the balance, that hadn't heard the word properly, we have to do our part. There are so many people that will get saved. And, you know, God loves people. He cares about them greatly. I saw a documentary about North Korea last night on CNN. And the people there, you know, with the media, you always hear the worst about people in too much. But they interview some of the people, everyday people in North Korea. They seem like some of the sweetest people. They just got a dictator for a leader. And they haven't heard about Jesus yet, not like they should. And what they worship is totally different. But the thing that makes the difference is hearing the truth of God. And whenever there's a dictator, the enemy wields that man like a weapon. Because they want to control the people and have power over people. And God hates the work of the Nicolaitans. He hates it. Power over the people. Interfering with people getting saved. Wanting to be God, wanting the praise that go to God like Lucifer. Well, when people hear the gospel and they have a heart to turn their heart to God. When there are people out like that out there, God's going to get the message to them some kind of way. And He's going to use us to do it many times. So when God is after some people and He know that they are here, He will do miracles to get your voice to them. He'll do whatever He needs to do to get to those that He know will hear Him out. Those who are hungry for Him are precious to God. And I believe that He's going to use everybody who's willing and obedient. Not people who take their hand off the plow. They preached, they did what they always do what they want to do. God can't use people like that. They're not even worthy of the kingdom of God. We need to, but those who yield to the Lord, who are trying to learn his ways, they are the ones that God will use. They're going to see the greater miracles. People who walk in love and truth to the call. Now, we've been teaching how the Holy Spirit manifests himself seven ways. And we looked at the book of, we're looking at Revelation chapter 2. And we observed how the Holy Spirit, Jesus spoke to the angel at the church of Smyrna in verse 8. Now we look, we already covered Smyrna, but I want to go back and just reiterate what which manifestation the Holy Spirit manifests himself through Jesus as he taught the angel of that church, which is the pastor or the apostle in that area. Now, unto the church at, and to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is now alive. He said, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. The first part of that statement, he said, I know. That's the spirit of knowledge. And we covered that part. He said, but thou art rich. He knew that too. I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not. And the spirit of knowledge is working so that they'll know that they can trust what the Lord is saying. He said, they say they're Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. And the people of Smyrna knew this. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Now this is counsel. But the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. This is counsel and wisdom that the Holy Spirit gave them, so they'll know what to do in that situation. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. This is also wisdom and counsel. He's showing them, don't back down. Don't be afraid. Even if you die, you're going to win. But be true to the word. Under all circumstances, we should be true to the word of God. So the Holy Spirit came and strengthened them. See, as they heeded the counsel of the spirit of might, they became mighty in God. We saw the spirit of knowledge and counsel and wisdom, and through all those things, might and the fear of God. See, when you fear God, you can't fear God and Satan at the same time. All right. So in many cases, all seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit came together to do the same work, but different aspects. Now let's look at we made it to the church of Pergamos. And verse 12 says, to the angel of the church in Pergamos, write, these things saith he which has the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwell, where Satan's seat is, and thou hold fast my name and has not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. Now this was a word of knowledge. Because he's telling them what he sees. They didn't see him there when they were doing all this foolishness. But he's telling them about it. He said, verse 15, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Now he came to them, letting them know that he had the sharp two-edged sword. Church of Pergamos. He said, these things saith he which has the sharp two-edged swords. The sharp sword with two edges. And they live in where Satan is. This is the church at Pergamos was Satan's headquarters. That's where his seat was. That's where his throne was. And that's where they were at. And they were doing the same thing that Balaam taught Balak to do. He taught him to eat things made to sacrifice to idols and commit fornication. Satan was trying to destroy that church from the inside out. He gave them false belief systems, false doctrines to drive the Christians back into the world and apart from God. And the Lord had his sword out dealing with this church. All right, he showed them what to do so that they could live and overcome like they should be doing. And there were two doctrines he hated. The doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. Now, several broadcasts prior to this one, we dealt with Balak, how even anointed people can turn their back on God and go right back to the world. When Balaam changed his focus, it changed his destiny. And he was a prophet that was a blessing, and then he became a curse. He was repurposed. The Lord repurposed him. And eventually he got killed for it. Now, in some of his dialogue, he honored God, but he also became a snare against Israel, a great snare. And you can trace a lot of the problems of Israel back to Balaam because he became a curse. See, we bear fruit after our kind. What we do can affect the future. What we do now. So what if we do what's blessed now? If we do what's blessed, then we're going to leave a legacy, a good one. But if we do what's cursed, we're going to leave a trail of death. Just like everybody who went astray. You know, Muhammad led so many billions of people astray with his religion, his false religion, Islam. It's wrong. You can't go to heaven through that. It does nothing about your sins. There's no redemption. And Allah is just the devil, a lying spirit. That he used that man to throw up. He's in hell now and can't get out. And when people go there, they can't come back and tell their loved ones. But God gave a few people a dream He let some people see it. And now he can put it on. They put it on YouTube to warn people. But the people who die in that, they believe it. They die. They can't come back and warn their family. God loves these people. It's nothing for the devil to lie to you. Don't be so surprised that he used false religions. Well, preacher, ain't you scared of? I ain't scared of them. It's just devil's lying. Nothing new. They're going to do this from now on. Until Jesus come back. And when he does come back, Isaiah chapter 2 talk about how they're going to cast their idols to the bats. All their books, their religions, all their paraphernalia. Everything that represents. I'm not talking about just Muslims. Every false religion. They're going to cast their idolatry to the bats. They're going to be hiding in caves, places where bats would live, trying to hide from Jesus. And they're going to throw away their idolatry. And it's going to be too late because they're going to know that Jesus came back. And it won't be by faith, and they don't have redemption. They're going to know to run. They're going to know they're wrong. This is the time to get people out of darkness. And you can argue with people all day trying to convince them. But if you live the life of God, there's no doctrine that can hide the light. The light of God's way cannot be hidden. A dead doctrine can't stand up to what's true. A person can lie all day and bully people into believing foolishness. But a holy life, nobody can deny. We have to become the city set on a hill. It's obvious. It's obvious when you do what's right, it is obvious. Nobody can stop it. Now, these two doctrines, the Lord hated. The doctrine of Balaam. Now, look at the blasphemy. This is where Satan's seat is. He said, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, where you live, and where Satan's seat is, and holdest fast my name. Now, they were holding fast, and has not denied my faith. Even in those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr. He got killed for what he believed, but he did not back down. Who was slain among you where Satan dwells. Now let's count the time where Jesus said, this is where Satan dwells. I know thy works where thou dwell and where Satan's seat is. That's one. And hold fast my name and has not denied my faith. Even in those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr. Who was slain among you where Satan dwells. He says where Satan's seat is and where he dwells two times. And then he said, I have a few things against you because because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. So he's angry because they're associating with people who do this, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. See, he commended them for standing fast, and he rebuked them because they have there with them people that were doing wrong. Eventually, see, if you're around corrupt people, it's going to corrupt you and it's going to corrupt what you're doing. People that own locals, if you're hanging around people that's blaspheming God, people will think it's okay. Your children will think it's okay. It's not okay to willfully associate with people who are opposite. You're not just known for what you do. You are known for who you. You're known also for who you avoid. If people won't change course, then you don't need to hang with them. Read it again. I know thy works where you dwell, where Satan's seat is, and hold fast my name, and has not denied my faith. Even in those days, they didn't deny the faith, see, wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block. You got them with you. Who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. He hates that. Repent, or else I will come to thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Now, first the Lord talked to him, the spirit of knowledge. I know thy works, spirit of knowledge. He showed them the facts, which ushered them into the fear of God. because he talked about the sword. And he talked about their strength to build them up, the spirit of might. And then he said, honestly, what he's against so they can make corrections and start fearing God. So we see the fear of God manifest through what Jesus said. And he gave them wisdom. He said, repent. Now this is wisdom and counsel. Repent or else I will come to thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. And then he said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcome will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth save he that receives it. This is something to look forward to, a reward, a blessing, if you stand, if you obey God. And he said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. This should be a standard, not just to that church, but to everybody who hears about it. Every Christian man, every Christian woman who get a chance to hear what he said to the church at Pergamos and to every church. He always ended saying, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And if we repent and receive what the Holy Spirit is saying, we're allowing God to govern us. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to govern our lives. And he's going to do something wonderful with it. But not if we're contrary. If we're willing to do things God's way, we're going to see the mighty works of God. And he hates the works of the Nicolaitans. That's Nicolaitans. I asked the pastor what that meant. And that's power over the people. Now, the Holy Spirit is our guide. Jesus Christ is our King. The Nicolaitans set up, they put religion to govern the people, and that's not God's will. If I was a pastor and the Lord sent me to he sent a congregation to me for me to help, I'm there to help them. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm just like on this broadcast, I'm here to help. All the things that I learned along the way, I didn't know what was out there. The Lord showed it to me. He showed me how the condition of the church and how people thought, what was out there, the things that I didn't know about, things that I've talked about. I won't cover all the details now, but people are looking to the people who were off track. Notice that Jesus always talked to the angel of the church. Some people say that's the pastor of the church. All right, that's American. In America, most of the people they understand what a pastor is, and they know what an evangelist is. But pastors and evangelists are not the only people that God would put over a church. God was calling people to be apostles. He was calling people to be prophets and evangelists, and then pastors. Now, pastors come in fourth. And then some could have been teachers. Whoever God put in charge of the church in those cities. And some of the people that God put in charge could have been apostles. They could have been evangelists. They could have been prophets. Whoever God had stationed there at the time John wrote the letter. Remember, an apostle can serve as a pastor. He can function as a pastor if he has to. So can a prophet. Even an evangelist. Evangelists mostly go out and get people saved, and others help them come up. It just depends on how the Holy Spirit had to do it. So I'm not going to limit the angel of the churches to the pastor. But tradition does it that way. But I'm just making a note. Some of the angel of the churches could have been apostles. And the reason the Lord uses whoever he sent to start the work is the angel. And they're the ones commissioned to do a function for the Lord. And he wrote them so that they could guide the people the way they should be. We take orders from Jesus Christ. He's the King of Kings. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Once the Father tells us what to do, see, if the Lord is building the church, it's going to work. That's why it's so important to pray. There's so many churches, so many choices. Why not say, Lord, what do you want me to go? And when the Lord reveals to you where to go, be there. Don't go as a critic. Go in obedience. Now, you're responsible to do whatever the Lord give you to do. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And the pastor of whatever church, whoever he send you to, they're there to help you. If the Lord sent you to this website, I'm here to help you. I'm going to say whatever he put on my heart. And it's going to, you know, it's a tool. I'm doing my part. You'll have to obey God on your own. Even if you go to a church, you're going to have to be the one to obey God of your own free will. Pastors don't make people obey. They help people that to know God, to make so that they can make the best choices in life. And see, your church, in your community, wherever God has you to go, that's part of your network. Your spouse, your family, your parents, your church, your friends, that's your network to help you do positive things. And they're there that God gave us all these wonderful blessings so that we can follow him. And sometimes even parents and people in your network need you to follow God to help them follow God. See, it's all about relationship. It's not about the Nicolaitans. I'm the king. I'm the king of the church. And I'm going to tell you what to do, who to marry, where to go. No. God hates the Nicolaitans. They act like that. But if you're governed by the Holy Spirit, you're going to be fine. The Holy Spirit will help pastors help you. He'll help apostles help you. If I bless anybody at all, it's because the Holy Spirit had me to say the right thing at the strategic time. And I thank God for every time he does it. If I give counsel, it's going to be to follow God, not me. Some people try to coerce people into giving money and doing all these wonderful things so that they'll be blessed. And every man of God and every woman of God, they should be compensated for the effort they put forth. But that's got to be from the heart. And I welcome donations. I need them. But the emphasis is on the word. Do the word. And those that bless me, I thank God for them. But that's not why. I don't do this to be blessed by men. I do this to help God, to do in obedience to God. And when I believe God for what I need. And when the Lord puts something on your heart, do it. But not just for me, everywhere you go. If we have the attitude to do it right, we're going to be a blessing to the people that bless us. That's the least we could do. I want to do my part, but there are ministers out there that I want to, they have blessed me. And I'm going to send them an offer. I'm going to buy their books. I got books by Jonathan Cahn. He really encourages me. So does Perry Stone. And my pastor. I'm glad to pay tithes and offerings in church. My biggest problem is I need more money. And pastor said something I've been thinking about. He said, you have to have giving goals just like you have getting goals. There are things I put before the Lord, but I want a new situation. I want to have to give. Because God can really move when we obey him, when we do it right. But he hates the work of the Nicolaitans, people who try to command God's people. No, I want you to obey God. Honor the Holy Spirit by in obedience. And if we can do that, we can do all things through Christ. If we can just obey him. Now, next time, God willing, we're going to look at the church at Thyatira. It's another one. It's very interesting. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to move in your life like never before. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you. And Jesus truly is our Lord.